017 Holy Trinity Part 1 Andrew 29th of February 2012.
Okay, praise God. We're going to have a look at a subject that I've been asked to look at on Sunday and just share a few thoughts on the Holy Trinity. Anybody know what the Holy Trinity is?
Father, Son and the Holy Spirit.
Very good, Tracy. Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we have to realise that Father, Son and Holy Spirit are individuals. Yep. They're separate. But yet they're not three different gods.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one God. It's a triune God. That's why we call it Trinity. And that the in this makeup of the Trinity, each part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the very essence of all of them is the same. According to the Eastern Orthodox, which goes right back to early church fathers, goes back right to the time when, just after the death of Jesus, they believe that the very essence and nature of God is the same within the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And when I was ministering some time back on the on God is love, and we said, and I was talking about the fact that it's not just that God is, it's that the fact that that is means the very essence of God is love.
Yeah.
His very being oozes it, and so, and it's, I'd not actually seen that terminology used before. And just till recently, this last few days, when I was just doing some research again and talking about the Trinity, that the very essence, the very nature of God is this Trinity as well. The Father is the unbegotten of the fountainhead of the Deity. He's the one that, he's not begotten in any way. The Son is eternal and he's begotten from the Father. And if we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And that's referring to, obviously, to Jesus. Let's have a look at John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16. All this is... this part is to do with Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 28. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 28. And this is a statement from the Lord Jesus. And he says, I came forth from the Father, and I've come into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. So this, there is this connection, there is this strong connection between Jesus and God, and Jesus has come from God, and God is eternal, as Jesus is eternal and the Holy Spirit is eternal. Now the Holy Spirit is the helper. We'll go into more details in as we move along through this. Now, the Holy Spirit is the helper. If you look at John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 16. And he says, and Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. You see, Jesus is preparing his disciples at this point in time to bring them to a point of reality, of understanding that he's not going to be with them all the time.
Yeah.
He's physical at this point in time. He has a function. He has a duty to do. and that is to redeem the world back to God.
Yeah.
And to do that, he has to die upon the cross and be sacrificed and subject himself to the death of the cross and to suffer the pains of the cross. And so Jesus says to his disciples, but basically, don't be afraid, I'm going to send you another helper who will come from the Father, and this is the Holy Spirit. And so here we have God's direction is the fact that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is focused on a relationship with mankind. Everything about the Godhead is focused on about relationships. And that's something that many people miss out on these days. They miss out on focusing on true relationships. They get into wrong relationships and then they find themselves are in a mess.
Yeah.
The best relationship is that when we focus in on God and we start to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and he will direct us.
Yeah.
Verse 17 of that same chapter says this. He says, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you.
Amen.
Now then, you see, there's two abidings there. The Holy Spirit can abide with you. And that's okay. But the ultimate is that the Holy Spirit must abide in you. And this was a reference that Jesus was referring to, the fact that when you turn into your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, when you turn there, and you will find the story of the disciples in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to be given to them, that the Holy Spirit would come into them and then would lead them and direct them into all truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he's there to lead them into all truth. And so Jesus is referring to when he's gone, the Holy Spirit will be given, and will be given to come and be live within us and to direct us in the future. And this is all part of the Trinity, of God's plan for us. And chapter 16 of John's Gospel again, and verse 13 says, chapter 16 and verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Notice about the Holy Spirit, it's not a it.
No.
The Holy Spirit is not a it. He's a he.
Yeah.
A type of a personality, shall we say. A reality. He's not an it. Right? And so he says, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come.
Yeah.
Now, I've looked at that scripture in the past and many times and got a deeper insight on that. Because there it says, he will speak. Sorry, but he says, he will not speak on his own initiative. So he's not speaking of something that he wants to happen.
No.
He's not speaking about himself.
No.
And his own ideas. But he says, he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears. Okay, that's interesting. So the Holy Spirit listens. What's he listening to? Who's he listening to?
God.
And I began to realise that, you see, the Holy Spirit can be anywhere in the world all at once right now.
Yeah.
That's the ability of the spirit realm. He's also in the very throne room of God right now, listening to what God is saying about your circumstance and your situation. So he's hearing what God is saying about your circumstance and your situation. And it says, and he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be tuned into the Holy Spirit and let him speak to us, that we might hear what God is saying about the circumstances we might be in, about the situations that we might be in, about the way that we're living our lives, about the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And as we listen to the Holy Spirit, he's there to lead us and guide us, the Bible says, into all truth.
Yeah.
So it's important that we catch hold of the fact that, first of all, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, an interesting fact is that when God created man, he created man as a Trinity.
Wow.
Body, soul, and spirit. Now then, an interesting fact that you might like to just make note of is that three in the Bible, anything that often comes in threes, involved with God, means spiritual perfection. Anything that comes in threes means spiritual perfection. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual perfection.
Yeah.
This is the spiritual perfection of heaven. Now, when God created the earth and all that is in it, God's intention was to bring spiritual perfection and have spiritual perfection on the earth.
Oh, man.
So when he created man in a mirror image.
Yeah.
He created him three, spirit, soul and body.
Yeah.
So that connection would be between him and God, and the Godhead would be there. And as we read in our Bibles in Genesis, that in the cool of the evening God came into the garden to speak with, to commune, to connect, to have a relationship, to develop something deeper than what was already there. And each of those parts of man, those different parts, the body, soul and spirit, are connected to the Trinity, the Godhead. Jesus, he said, died for all our sicknesses and for all our diseases. God breathed life into us. The Holy Spirit came within us. He's part of us. And he will lead us and direct us by that Spirit. And he's birthed within us that new birth, that new seed that has to be cared for. And you see, that seed, if it's not cared for and watered with the Word of God, will dry up and die. It will shrivel up, it will become nothing. The plant that starts to grow, for want of a better word, if it's not fed and watered and kept in the Word, it will dry up and die. It's like the parable of the seeds that were sown. Some fell on stony ground. There's a lot of stony ground around.
Yeah.
I know that because I've sown a lot of seed. And there's been a lot of stony ground.
Yeah.
And he says the birds of the air come up and snatch it. The demons, the demonic, come and snatch the word away. Things of this world just pull things away, and we get distracted, and we lose the sense and the presence of God in church.
Yeah.
We have to realize that in the Holy Trinity, that the Holy Trinity created the world. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, I want to emphasize the importance of the Trinity for each and every one of us. There are different aspects. And this is a subject that you can't cover in a night, but we'll do something.
When you're reading, when I've tried to read about Trinity, it's difficult to understand because it don't seem to be able to explain it very well.
Well, we'll hope that by the end of this evening you'll have a greater understanding.
Amen.
I have, sometimes, if God helps, I do have God ability. He gives me the ability to try and break things down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hope we can break things down for you to all understand. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, "And God the Father created the heavens and the earth." The ancient church creed says, "I believe in one God,
yeah,
the Father Almighty,
amen,
maker of heaven and earth."
Amen.
Amen. And that's who I believe in.
Me too.
It's a good creed. You know, some people shy away. Oh, we can't be going into the old-fashioned stuff. The old-fashioned stuff is right.
Yeah, too.
The modern stuff's rubbish.
Yeah.
It's like the fact that you look at old equipment and new equipment, and the stuff that you buy new today doesn't last very long, and it's dude and it's throwaway.
Yeah.
It's disposable.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this: God is not disposable.
Yeah.
And neither are the principles of the Bible, are they disposable? That,
right.
They are the essentials. They are the very essences of life for you and for me. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. He hovered over the creation in creative power and equality with the Father." So he co-created with the Father. The Holy Spirit was there right at the beginning of creation, co-creating with the Father.
Yep.
Chapter 1 and verse 3. As the Word of God, the Son, that is the Son, made the light with creative power and equality with the Father. So he also created with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. So in God, it wasn't just God said. When you read that statement, God said, it means the Godhead said,
yeah.
Let there be light, and there was light.
Yeah.
Let there be fish in the sea. It's the Godhead. This three in one, they're in unity, they're in the power. You know, what is that? There's this thing about a three-chord strong is chord strand, when I can speak, is not easily broken.
That's right. Mm.
You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Hello? Uh-oh. Now, these are just small things. But they're bound together.
Yeah.
And they're not easily broken.
Yeah.
They'll never be broken.
Yeah.
This spiritual perfection. turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're just going to be flicking quite a bit through the Bible. You may just need to write these down for reference. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 3. And this is, again, just bringing to light and refreshing in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. See, it's not separate from God. And the Word was God. They're intertwined. They're inseparable. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. This is referring to Jesus. This is just confirming the Old Testament. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being. In other words, nothing existed without the presence of Jesus. Nothing existed without the presence of God. Nothing existed without the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They don't do things on their own.
No.
Jesus said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. Even when he was on the earth, separated by time and distance, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. That should be an example that we should learn to follow. That I only do what I see my Heavenly Father telling me to do. By the Holy Spirit. By the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit is not separate from this written book. This written book portrays part of the thoughts and minds of God and of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit highlights this. So the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. Now, some people like to think he does, because they have that, they want that, because that helps them do what they want to do. Well, I've heard from God and he's told me to do this. But does it match up with the Word of God? Oh, well, yeah, but I've just got a new revelation and I've heard from God. And what they've heard from God contradicts the Word of God. Well, I'm telling you this, you just heard from a demon, you didn't hear from the Holy Spirit. If you get a thought and says, go out and get drunk, and somebody says, I've just heard from God, he's told me I've got to go and get drunk. You didn't hear from God.
Did he? No.
You heard from a demon of alcohol.
I understand that.
Even you know that one, Tracy, don't you? Love, bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's turn back into Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 again. Sorry to just keep moving you back. We'll give you Bible some exercise. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And then God said, let us make man in our image. Now, point to note. These pronouns, let us and our, they reveal a plurality of divine persons. You don't say, you don't stand there on your own and say, let us go and do something, do you? Because people are going to be looking around and thinking, what is he talking about? What is she talking about? What is wrong with them? You don't stand there and say, let us, and there's just you on your own. It's like, aye, aye, you know, something slipped somewhere. And so when it says, let us, this is God speaking to his Son and speaking to the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Let us go and make man in our own image. And that's where we then, as I said, come to the fact that we are made spirit, soul and body, a trinity. Mm. See, when God made us, God made us perfect. Mm.
Yeah.
It was sin that came in and started to disrupt the perfection, to begin to destroy it. And so we see that the Trinity operates in such a unity. There's a psalm, I think it is 133, where it says, where the brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing, life forevermore.
Yeah.
Right? And that is something that people do not seek to strive to hold together, unity. Because the tool of the devil is disunity, division. But when the people of God will strive together and live together in unity, God will command the blessing, life forevermore. Praise his wonderful name. The Holy Trinity saves the world. Let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 16. Isaiah
yeah.
chapter 16.
Yeah.
Sorry, 63. Sorry, 63.
Yeah.
And verse 16. The Father is our Redeemer.
Amen.
That's who he is. For thou art Father. Through it, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us, thou, O Lord, art our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is thy name.
Amen.
He's our Redeemer. Father is our Redeemer. He not only created the world, but he redeemed it as well.
Yeah.
You see, here's God, he's created the world. The Trinity has created the world, and the world gets corrupted. So God has also got to make provision to redeem it back through his Trinity.
Yeah.
And it is only the Trinity that can do it. It is the power of the Trinity that can change things. It's not Jesus on his own. Because Jesus said he didn't do anything on his own. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only did what the Spirit told him to do. And so it's so important that we need to realize that we need to have this connection with God. We have to have this connection with each other. Success is connecting with one another.
Cheers.
The kingdom of God is built by connecting.
Yeah.
If you don't connect, you don't build. If you don't connect, you don't exist in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Psalm 2 and verses 7 and 8. This is the Father's decree. This is his declaration. This is what he's saying that's so important. And he says there in verse 7 of Psalm 2, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession.
Amen.
This is God's decree. Through his Son, that he's going to inherit the earth. His inheritance is the people saved by the Son. You and I are God's inheritance.
Yeah.
It's like, well, God doesn't need anything, does he? Yeah, he does. He needs you and me. Because he created, we came out of him. We came out of his very being. We came out of this triune God. He wants us back. He wants that relationship. He wants to take it back right to that beginning of paradise. I have a book, it's called Paradise Restored. And God is intending to restore his paradise.
Yes.
And not leave it in a mess like it is now. God is going to restore and bring back to where he started. Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through to 3. Some of you will remember a hymn that, well, certainly I sang in school. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through to 3. And it says there, in the year that of the King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I never realised why there were three holies.
Trinity.
It's a Trinity. Holy God the Father, Holy God the Son, and Holy God the Holy Spirit. And this is, and the angels, you see, the angels, that there are mysteries in this word that we've never seen. We used to sing that hymn at school, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Yeah, all thy works shall praise thy name. Yeah, there you go, you've started singing it now. So we might sing that one on Sunday, we haven't sung it for a while.
Oh, we've done it once or twice.
Yeah, we have, yeah, it's a tremendous hymn. And the declaration of three persons who have saved us. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. You see, without the Father, we don't have the help of the Son. Without the Son, we don't have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit to lead us day by day, we lose our relationship with the Son and the Father.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for the Son, we wouldn't be saved, that we could actually be introduced to the Holy Spirit.
No.
And so when we're introduced to the Holy Spirit, then we're actually then allowed into the Father's presence.
Yeah.
And that relationship is restored. Unity is restored. And the power of God can begin to flow through us. Isaiah 44. And verse 3, Isaiah chapter 44, it says, For I will pour out water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants. Here it is, this is God the Father declaring that he will pour out his spirit, his Holy Spirit, on people like water on dry ground, and the Holy Spirit will quench the thirst of the people, of the individuals, for those who are thirsting for salvation. It's God the Holy Spirit that's at work.
Yeah.
Bringing life to each and every one of us. Isaiah 48. I'm just going to feed you a load of, you know, information at the moment. 48, 16 and 17. Come near to me. Listen to me. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Who's that speaking?
Jesus.
That's right. The Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. So it must be Jesus if he's talking, because it's part of the Trinity. You see, in Scripture, the Trinity is there all the time, and you miss it.
You don't. So does the Holy Spirit actually come? Is it like God and then the Son, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You can't get. You've got to go through Jesus.
That's right. The only way, the first person that we meet along the way, is Jesus.
And he is classed as the Word, isn't
he? He's the Word.
The Word. So you go.
That's
through
part
him.
Of his title. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Word. He's the one that brings us the redemption. That brings us cleansing, that brings us into a place of right standing.
Mm.
righteousness. And then the Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us, right? One, to live life in victory on the earth, to empower us to understand the Word of God, and to empower us to move into the presence of God. Because from that point we can move through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus and that sacrifice. We're made righteous, we're made clean, we're made holy, we're made acceptable to God. But that process goes on with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and then we can enter into the presence of the living God.
That the word "word" actually comes from is logos, and logos means intelligence. So if you use the word intelligence, it gives a lot more dynamic to who he is. Jesus is the intelligence that created everything.
That's where you've got the spirit, the soul, and the body. Soul is your, like your intellect, your intelligence. And you can begin to match those up and put them side by side. The New Testament affirms the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. As we've read earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1 through to 3, the Word is the Son of God, who was present with the Father at the beginning of creation. He was his co-worker with the Father in creating the world. See, we don't often see that. We don't put that into that perspective. That this Trinity is something that goes far deeper than what you and I have ever been possibly taught and even understood. If we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 58, "And Jesus said unto them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am."
Oh, no.
I am. He existed before Abraham. Now, the reason he said that is because, you see, these people are there saying that, you know, our father's Abraham. Yeah. They're boasting and, you know, bragging on their birthright. You know, basically, do you know who I am? One of those sort of situations. Do you know who I am? I'm one of the sons of Abraham. He said, yeah, and I existed before him as well. So what's your claim to fame?
The count on the said he's less than 50.
Well, that's right. Then they go on and say, well, hang on. And they all stand there in a huddle together saying, hang on, he's not even 50 years old. You know, he's in his 30s. How can it be that he's older than... And then they start thinking he's crazy. But you see, it's by the Spirit, you see. They don't see God by the Spirit. They don't recognise him by the Spirit of things. So Jesus is identifying himself as existing before Abraham. Before his coming in the flesh is what Jesus is saying. I existed. I existed, he says, as the eternal Son of the Father. For he is begotten from the Father before all time and ages. He existed at creation, as the Bible tells us. It says, he appeared to Moses in the burning bush and proclaims himself as the I Am. I Am.
Well, do I call this self I Am, though?
What do you need God to be? I Am the God who provides. I Am your healer. I Am your deliverer. What do you need God to be? I Am, he says. In other words, in the Trinity, bear in mind again that we are a Trinity.
I never realised that.
You see, well, in all this Trinity, you and I have all our needs met.
Yeah.
Because God says, "I am." What is it you need? What do you need physically? What do you need emotionally? What do you need spiritually? God says, "I am."
I love that.
I am.
It does, yeah.
But that's what the Trinity is all about. It's about being special. It's about who God really calls you to be.
And wherever you turn up in history, you still I Am.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever time and place it happens to be, I am does not change. Mm-hmm. Circumstances may change.
I just find it incredible that, you know, I didn't even realise, you know, you just, when you become born again or whatever, you just think, well, there's God, there's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And when you start thinking who they really are, because I didn't really realise that there was God, the Father and the Holy Spirit from in the New Testament. I didn't realise that we all can't be, God couldn't exist without Jesus. It was like core, it's like an apple. If you peel it, you've got a cut the core, or I'm just using that as an example, the core,
the flesh
in the skin. Do you know what I mean? You can't separate it from that, and that's the only, I mean, that terminology, I find it amazing when you think about it, and that it just become, because we just think of him as a human, because we're living on this earth as human, and we just turn it as that, don't we? You know what I'm saying? I probably sound a bit stupid, but I know what I mean.
As you listen, you'll see,
I think,
more.
I just find it amazing, I really do.
But this is God.
Yeah.
God is amazing.
He is amazing.
If you will let him, God will be amazing.
Yeah.
If you will allow him to reveal himself to you, God will be absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's a tremendous challenge in the way that God moves at times heaven and earth to do things in our lives. If we have a look in Acts chapter 2, and verse 17, and it says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." This is God's promise, that his spirit is going to be outpoured upon all flesh.
It's done then.
It's done. There, that was it there. It was being poured out upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit's there. He's arrived. You see, when Jesus went to John the Baptist and said to him, "John, baptize me." And John in the end did baptize him. What happened?
Holy Spirit came.
Right, that's, yeah, you okay, that's your focus. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit came down on the Lord Jesus. That's right. He did. Anything else?
He says, "This is my beloved son."
Then God speaks.
Yes.
They were all there.
They were all present at Jesus' baptism. Yes. Can you see what's happening? Can you see what the Word of God is doing? Can you see the importance that the Trinity will not be separated?
Yeah.
The nearest thing to separation that the Trinity ever suffered was when Jesus took all our sins and all our sicknesses and all our diseases on that cross. And for a brief moment in time, God turned away from his Son. He could not look upon the sin that was being poured upon his Son. But when the price had been paid, when the redemption had been paid, and his Son was pure, clean and holy, then the Trinity was completely restored and will never be broken again, because the price has been paid for all eternity. And it is tremendous when you begin to see this. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the at Pentecost, this affirms his presence in the Old Testament. You know that it's a prophecy. This prophecy is, I think, it's out of Isaiah.
Joel.
Comes out of Joel, and it speaks about what is going. Yeah, Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and 32. You can write it down and look at it later. And this is a prophecy in the Old Testament that some 400 years before the time of Jesus. And then suddenly God is, you know, there it is happening in Pentecost, pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. It's a prophecy that's being fulfilled. It was spoken about in the Old. It's been brought to birth in the New. So the Holy Spirit existed even in the Old Testament. You see, the Holy Spirit would speak to the prophet and to the high priest. We forget that sometimes, that the Holy Spirit was still involved. Limited amount, but he was involved in creation.
Pardon? It was on them, because Moses,
that's right.
He says to Moses, I'll put it on the others so they can help you to...
That same Spirit. Mm. Yeah.
Don't you think David was inspired by
the Holy Spirit? Well, David was both a king and a priest in his own right. And David, with the psalms that he sang and wrote, he must have been inspired by the Holy Spirit and his relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through to 10. And again, this is referring back into the Old Testament to Psalm 45, verse 6. It says, but the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your companions. Praise his wonderful name. And he says in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
And the heavens are the works of thy hands.
Amen.
Wow. This is, again, the Trinity at work. The foundation, they were co-workers in the kingdom of God. They were co-workers in creation, right? Here's another one for you. We have the sun, the moon, and the stars set in the heavenly realm. And God said to Abraham, if you want to see how big your family is going to be,
count the stars.
See, there's the sun, the moon and the stars are part of a trinity, of the picture of the trinity, of the unity. They exist in a unity. The moon is there to assist gravitational pull on this earth and to assist in the tides and the times and the seasons. Amazing, isn't it? And so far we've sent all out these wonderful, powerful telescopes looking for another planet that just might be like this one, that can sustain life. God's focus is on this very planet. And I find that incredible. I'll give you another one, a trinity. Fairly close to hand. Earth, sky, and the sea. These are all biblical quotes, these. The earth, the sky and the sea. God created the earth. God created the firmament. God created, separated the waters, the seas. I'll give you another one. Connecting with the spirit realm. Fire, water and the blood.
Yeah.
These are all quotes from within scripture. The Bible uses these threes, these combinations.
That's our salvation, isn't it?
That's complete part, yeah, salvation. The complete salvation. That's part of the key for our complete salvation. I'll give you another one that you won't know this one, but if you look in Scripture, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. I know a man. Do you want that again?
I don't have it.
You don't have it?
Strange.
Right. Okay.
It's only after Sunday chapter.
All right. You have to get an English Bible then, shall we? Yes. Okay, let's 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says this. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. That must mean there are two other heavens.
Yeah.
Can you see that? See, there's a trinity. Has to be three heavens. Where are the three heavens? Well, the first one is the area around the Earth's atmosphere.
Stellar.
The stellar heavens, where you see the our atmosphere that we live in. The second heaven is the heaven of the outer space that we send satellites and we see stars in. The third heaven is where God exists. Mm-hmm. And we ain't got that far yet. And I find that quite interesting. Here, I'll give you another one. Old Testament one. Tabernacle of Moses.
Yeah.
The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There's a trinity there.
Yeah.
It's a type and a shadow that is reflecting the glory of heaven. It's a type and a shadow that reflects the principles of God.
Yeah.
It's a type and a shadow that reflects the and shows the structure of heaven.
Yeah.
And if you want, we can come back to that comment that I made earlier about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. When you start to plait together, it becomes stronger than a single cord.
Yeah.
You can have the same number of strands in a single cord as you can in a cord that you use and you separate into three separate cords, thinner cords, and you put them together, and that plait is stronger than the same number of cords pulling in a straight line. That's how they make ropes. Technology. See, the Bible told them how to do it. It's in the book, you see. It's in the book. All knowledge comes from God. You see. I'll give you another one. Are you ready for this one? Noah's Ark. There were three levels in Noah's Ark. These are not coincidental. It's an ark. Three levels. Outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenants. Relationship, or the tabernacle. The temple. Inner, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. This is God's plan. God is, you know, the devil counts happening. God is not deviating from his plans. I read an article today. There's something called the Wilkinson Microwave Astrology Probe, which has been sent out into space. And it's sent back some measurements. And it has come back with these measurements of the universe that it has found. And it says 4% of the universe is normal matter. That must be, you are normal matter. I'm normal matter, maybe. 23% of the universe is dark matter. We've all heard that terminology. We don't understand it, but we've heard the terminology, this dark matter. Does it really matter? Who knows? And then they found that 73% of the universe is dark energy. What does that mean? They've come up with a theory. And with all these figures, the 4%, the 23%, the 73%, when they put these figures together, they've come up with this theory that these figures indicate that the universe is flat and will keep expanding forever. Will keep expanding forever. Well, guess what? I know for a fact that those in Christ Jesus are going to live forever in an expanding universe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created. I don't know exactly when in time, but they created it to last forever.
Yes.
God is eternal. God is spirit and he is eternal. You are spirit and you are eternal.
Amen.
You see? Yet our spirit at the moment abides in this fleshly body. But praise God.
Amen.
There is a new body.
Just waiting.
That is waiting for you and I to finish our time here on the earth. Praise is wonderful. And there is an eternity. There is a forever, according to science and according to the Bible, for us to live and gain. And I just thank God that this is just part of something that God created just for you and for me. He created it to share it with us. He created it because he loves you beyond all understanding.
I think he created it for our pleasure, didn't he?
That's what it says. He created it for our pleasure. But the problem is sin came and restricted it. And so the restrictions have been upon us now for over 6,000 years or more. But praise God. The holds have been broken. And God is beginning to set us up for a new move. And thank God for that, that things are moving fast. I had an email from a friend today, I've not seen for a long, long time. And he's just come back from Egypt, from Cairo. And he went to a prayer meeting in Cairo. And this is to do with open doors, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he said he went to this prayer meeting. And he said that there were 7,000? 7,000 Christians gathered together in a prayer meeting. If you call a prayer meeting in a church, you can guarantee most of the congregation disappears. It don't turn up.
Mm.
We don't want to pray, and yet they call a prayer meeting in Egypt. The prayer meeting, as Graham says, is the powerhouse. That's where the work is always done. That's what changes lives. That's what changes destinies of nations. Prayer. Not preaching, prayer. Not singing, prayer. Not worship, prayer. That's what changes things. And there's an Orthodox priest who meets in a cave, and he's gradually kept digging this cave out, or exploding this cave out more and more over the years, and making it bigger and bigger. And he waits while Ramadan comes on, when they're all busy with Ramadan. Then he starts lighting dynamite and exploding and enlarging the cave. You see, they're all busy with Ramadan, and so he's building, extending the cave. And I think this email said that they can now get 70,000 in this cave.
Yeah.
70,000 Christians around Cairo meeting together. They're planning a prayer meeting on, I think it's on the 22nd of March, and they're trying to get it either 70,000 or 100,000 Christians in Egypt to come and pray. It's about 7 or 8% of the population is Christian in Egypt. You know, the church is growing in power, and it's moving forward.
It's the only Arab nation where you can preach the gospel without going to prison.
Yes, the only Arab nation where you can preach the gospel without going to prison. God is at work, but it is through His Spirit working through us. It's through the Word working through us. You see, it's this connection with the Trinity.
Mm.
He's the Godhead. He's in charge. Whether you believe it or not, He is.
Absolutely.
He's God the Father. Jesus is the Lord and Saviour of the world. And the Holy Spirit is that person who's going to whisper to us what has been said about the circumstances and situations that are going on in this world today. They are three distinct persons, individuals, but they are there totally connected with one purpose. The very essence of their being,
the one nature,
is one nature.
So the Holy Spirit gets the messages He brings to us from God.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because you see, He can be anywhere. He can be here now, and He can be in Egypt now.
Mm. And then you get Jesus as
well. You see, Jesus, you see, has taken upon himself at this point in time a body.
Yeah, because that's what confuses.
And that's the restriction.
That's what confuses me, because he was brought on this earth as a human.
That's right.
We don't really know what, whether he was or.
He was.
Do you know what I mean? And
he was human. His seed was from an incorruptible seed, because his seed was via the Holy Spirit.
What, in the Old Testament?
No.
In the New Testament,
when he was birthed,
he was human.
He was human and divine. Mm. Right. In the Old Testament, he was divine.
Yeah.
But in the New Testament. But then again, you see, when you often read about the angel of God, for instance, like met with Abraham, it would be Jesus.
Yeah, and Joshua.
And Joshua.
Yeah, he's the one who always comes in bodily form.
Yeah, Jesus is always the one who comes in bodily form.
Throughout the Old and the New.
Throughout the Bible, Jesus is the one that is made manifest in bodily form. That's his function, that's his purpose. The Holy Spirit can be anywhere within this world now. And he whispers what is being said. Telling you and telling somebody else what is being said in the throne room of God about the situation and circumstances that people are in and what's going to happen, and directing us in prayer sounds just about impossible to do. But let's look at it like this. Bill's got a computer, and he can type an email on his computer, and then he can get everybody's address. And he can add their addresses into that computer, and he presses one button. And it goes out to all those addresses all at the same time. Yeah. Now, you're not telling me God's far, far more superior than a computer. He's the I Am. He don't break down.
As I also told us that Jesus will come, they call him Emmanuel and things long ago.
Yeah, God with us, Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. You see, so this is the Trinity that God has. This is meets all of our needs. This is what the Trinity is about: meeting the needs, but at the same time, you and I need to realize that the Trinity within us, spirit, soul, and body, has to begin to function in the same purpose and plan that God has for it.
Yeah.
You and I have to rise to another level. And the thing about it is, you see, what would you start thinking if Carol suddenly started slapping herself across the face? You'd start thinking, whoa, something's gone wrong here, hasn't it? You know, part of the Trinity is no longer in agreement with itself. And there will be something wrong. We don't do that, do we? We agree. And in the same way, the church, the body of Jesus Christ, needs to agree that it might see signs, wonders and miracles. And the great focus is that we pray and that we intercede into heaven and touch the throne room of God, because in that throne room, Jesus is present. God is present. And the Holy Spirit is there. The power of the triune unity. The power of the Trinity, of God the Holy Father, God the Holy Son, and God the Holy Spirit, will change the direction of people's lives. And that's where we need to realize the importance of the Trinity. And when we come around the Lord's table, we break bread together. We're coming and we are drawing close to heaven. Yeah. We're drawing close to the Trinity. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you meet together. We could even break bread tonight. Because we've met together. We do it once a week. Some churches don't do it at all. They're being disobedient. The Lord Jesus said, this is my body. Meet together. And as often as you meet together, do this in remembrance of me. This is the empowering. This is touching the throne room. This is doing something that is so important. And yet churches, evangelicals have walked away from it. We're living in disobedience, and yet we say, God bless me. Oh, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Why does it not matter anymore? If it doesn't matter, then we start cutting other pieces out in Scripture and say, that doesn't matter. It does matter. Because we're breaking the format, we're breaking the Trinity, we're breaking the relationship, we're breaking the power source. We've got microphones here. If you give me a pair of scissors, I'll soon stop these microphones working. I just cut through them, I'll break the connection. Break the relationship. And that's what we're doing, and then we're expecting God to bless me.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah, the Old Testament says obedience is better than sacrifice. And we have got to begin to obey this word of God and see it fulfilled in our lives. Because if we don't, we are not going to see the blessings of God being outpoured upon us. We might see the wrath of God.
What is the difference with communion? Is it the same?
It is the same. We could call it Holy Communion, you can call it the Holy Eucharist. They all mean the same thing. It's the love feast.
Yeah, because some of them they believe. Let me say, my mom is Catholic, and when she came here, I was going to Catholic church because of her. So they do this every Sunday. She refused, and I asked her why. She said they have to make sure that I stop living like the world to start doing that. I have to. Stop talking about other people behind their back. Any event, just they have to start living only to God. That's so I know that I checked out myself. I'm clean and ready to do that. That's how I believe. That's what she said.
Yeah.
They
well,
to them like that.
That's right. They
so
do.
Sometimes makes me think also that, you know, that but I have different way of worshiping. I was doing this all these years, but. She always tell me that.
You see, really, in reality, you see, it does say, let a man, the Bible says, let a man examine himself.
Yeah.
Examine yourself. And then if you've got anything, then you just immediately say, Lord, I repent of these things that I've... And, you know, you start again, start afresh. And then, and if you've got something against your brother and sister, the word says, go and put it right with them before you break bread. They don't do that in church. The evangelicals don't do that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. They break bread and I'll never, and they'll make statements like, and I'll never speak to that woman again in all of my life. And then they go to the Lord's table the next Sunday and they're breaking bread like the holy angels. So there is some truth, you know. I know people knock the Catholics. And there are some issues that are there that are not right. But let me tell you this, there are some issues in the evangelical church that aren't right neither.
Mm-hmm.
So stop pointing the finger and get on living your relationship with God.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it. Because guess what? Some of you are going to be living next door to Catholics. Because there are Catholics who are saved and going to heaven, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't have any issues. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Well, fine. You and me can be friends. That's what, you know, that's what it's about. You see, doctrine changes. My doctrine, my understanding of this word of God has changed because one has to be teachable. And so God begins to teach and begins to expose us. And I began to understand at one stage that the word of God is like a gem. And if you turn it, you see different colours and different facets in the gem. And when you start to look at the Word of God and allow God to begin to turn it and take you deeper into it and to expose you to it, then you will see some greater things. You will see some more things that you will see things that you've never seen before. Even tonight, some of you are seeing things that you've never seen before.
Amen.
And we're just teaching a well, it's not a simple subject on the Trinity. It's a deep subject on the Trinity. But it's been glossed over by people at times. And we're just digging a little bit deeper.
But isn't that the foundation of our
the faith? The foundation of our faith is the Trinity.
Yeah.
Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Without Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we have no salvation. We've nothing.
It gives us a responsibility, doesn't it?
We,
the knowledge he gives us, it's a responsibility we've got to
we have
learn.
We have a responsibility.
A big responsibility.
We do. As children of God, we have a responsibility to do the will of the Father and not our own will. And that's a tough call sometimes, I know that. Even I have trouble with that. But we are to do the will of the Father. And how do we find that out? One is by spending time in the Word.
Yeah.
One is by spending time seeking His face and listening to His voice. Another way is when we come together and we begin to share, and the Spirit of God begins to cause us to share with one another, and we bring that corporate anointing that brings the light of God on the Scripture and brings revelation into what God wants to do.
When I was little, I went to Holy Trinity School. They were called Holy Trinity School, didn't they? That's what he said. Does anybody know what it is? I knew straight away, yeah.
He had you marked then, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep. God is at work in our lives. His wonders to perform. And we need to catch hold of this and realise that God will do something great within us. I'll give you another three. I'll probably close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. But now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. This is
faith, hope, and love.
God is love.
Why is
it's divine. It is divine government. Divine perfection. Sorry, it's divine perfection. Everything that's coming in threes. You see, because what you have to do is you have to look. Let me give you a simple example of something. If you want to know what something really means from the Word of God, find out when it was first said. Find out when it first occurred. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, you have Father, Son and Holy Spirit at creation. That tells you everything that you need to know about the Trinity. It was right at the forefront of creation. It is so important that it travels then all the way through the Bible. Threes.
Even the next three to the shell that...
there you go,
We come from eggs, didn't we?
See, all the way through there's this, and as I say, then we've got man, spirit, soul and body.
Yeah.
Right? And it moves all the way through. The tabernacle is a reflection of the kingdom of God. Reflection of the Godhead. Reflection of humanity. The inner court, the outer court, and within us, the Holy Spirit is deep within us. When he comes within us, that's the Holy of Holies, where he resides. You see, God's glory resided in the Holy of Holies. Yeah. Didn't reside in the outer court. No. You know, didn't reside in this that you can see. Mm-hmm. It didn't reside just within the inner court, but it was deep within the Holy of Holies. Yeah. That's where the presence of God was.
Deep Christ to deep.
Yeah. And so we have to, when you begin to see these things, you begin to ponder on these things. The next time you start reading, you've got something where it's three, you begin to just look at it and say, this is part of God's plan, this is part of God's Trinity. It's a recurring thing, recurring all the time.
In some churches, like you said, there's no Holy Spirit presence. And because there's a group of young men, and they don't have specific name of religion, but they pray, they read the Bible and things like that. They went to Catholic Church, and they pray there, and they sing a song and pray properly. You know, these ladies, nuns, with dark clothes and this. They were there all over their life. I don't think they mean it or they know, but there was evil in them. When those lads pray, it was in north of Ethiopia. this lady steal their clothes and they shout evil shouts, and they fall on the ground and like this. But so they being, everybody knows they are like holy nuns and things like that.
Well, let me say this: just because you go to a church, does not make you a Christian. We've said that. You've heard me say that statement. You can go and live in a garage, but it doesn't make you a motor car. Yeah, think on those things. You can go to church, it does not make you a Christian. Well, yeah, you see, the church is not in it's not the Holy of Holies. That's only the beginning. It's the outer court. That's where the public gathers, you see. Anybody could gather in the outer court. The holy place is, well, that was reserved for the priesthood and those that are moving, you know, and we're a royal priesthood. And the Holy of Holies, well, one had to be sanctified, cleansed, made righteous, prepared and ready to go into that Holy of Holies. That was the position for the high priest. And if we will allow the word of God to cleanse us and sanctify us and the blood of Jesus to wash us, and we keep that relationship going, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. But let me tell you this, not everybody enters into the Holy of Holies. There are some people busy dancing around in the outer court, and they're happy. They think they've arrived. That's not where God's Shekinah glory is. That's not where God's presence is. That's only where they make all the sacrifices. That's where all the noise goes off. But in the Holy of Holies, that's where the presence and the glory, the Shekinah glory of God is. That's where you find out things. That's where you see the power. That's where you see the might and the majesty of God. Moses met God in the tent of meetings. He met him. The glory of God came down. That is God's plan for his people. In the Garden of Eden, the glory of God came down each evening to spend time with his creations. That's absolutely right. If we make ourselves available to God, we can be that creation of God. But it is that we have to come into that relationship. It's this, the Trinity, meeting the Trinity and having that relationship. Praise his wonderful name. Well, I hope that's helped. I don't know if you have any questions. Grace will answer them if you have. Poor Graham.
I read another interesting analogy, and that was that the Father is the will. They're all doing the will of the Father. He makes all the plans. It's his will that they're all working. So the Father is the will. The Son is the Word. He speaks into being. And there's nothing more powerful than this. This is Jesus.
I've realised that.
The Word. And the Holy Spirit is the power that goes forth.
What you have to remember, though, is you can't just use the Word for what you think you want to, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just something you can sort of... You remember the old story of Aladdin and his lamp, you know. Mm-hmm. Rub it and get a wish. Open it up and get a promise from God, and that's it, you know. It don't work like that. This is relationship. Yeah. That's how it works. It's not rub the lamp, not rub your Bible and open it up and see what comes out. You know, a man did that one time. He opened his Bible up and it says, and so-and-so went out and hung himself. So I thought, phew, that can't be a good scripture, can it? So he shut it and opened it again. Turned to another scripture and it said, go and do thou likewise. You can't cherry-pick from the Word of God. Yeah. People want to do. Yeah. But that's not what it's about. You don't cherry pick your relationship with God. It's deeper than that. much deeper. Any questions?
I was thinking with Egypt, God used them in the Old Testament book, bringing his children out, but of course he's restoring them again. They're coming back to, coming to him, because they weren't winning at first.
That's right. All the earth shall belong to the Lord.
It's on that to take what Ellen, I've given to Ellen, that's mentioned there about a prayer meeting that had 1,000 in Egypt. They went to one there, and it was really been coming on there.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, can you imagine getting 1,000 to come to a prayer meeting in Doncaster? Invite all the churches to a prayer meeting in Doncaster. You might be lucky if you get 50.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
that's true.
No questions?
You say we're a prayer meeting, when you say we're a prayer meeting, they might say,
tell you, if I hadn't come out, we'd be on a prayer meeting.
Let that be the surprise.
A surprise barbecue.
Not the surprise you've got a, prayer.
You've got to pray. You've got to pray that whoever cooks it, it's going to be cooked right. Because it's going to need a lot of prayer.
I tell you one thing that I like, and that Bishaw's used to say to us, that God became man. That man
might become God.
God. And that's his plan.
Yeah. That's right. Yep, God became
that's
man.
Exactly
and man might become God.
Well, I was only amused before I realised in Old Testament it kept saying Lord, and I thought, well, it should be God in Old Testament, but it's Lord. Yeah, I realise.
You do. We all learn as we travel along this journey, as we stay in there. God wants to reveal more of Himself to us. Well, the Lord bless you. I trust you, it's been some help to you.
It's been a lot.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah. And an encouragement to you.
Can we do some more next week?
I don't know what we'll do next week.